It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Tuesday, December 10th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. This week is Computer Science Education Week, but there's a growing debate when it comes to computer literacy for students. The question is whether to teach every kid coding or not. There are only so many hours in the school day, after all, and some educators just don't think writing computer language should be a required subject. Reporter Gigi Duban takes a look.
To be a savvy consumer of technology, you have to understand how it works. That means knowing how to write programming code. Douglas Rushkoff is an author and digital literacy advocate.
In a course where kids are learning critical thinking and critical studies, they can be looking at and analyzing the biases of different media like websites, like social networks.
Rushkoff says it'll help kids understand that Facebook, for instance, isn't about making friends, but about data mining. He says kids need to know how digital programs work from the ground up. Dan Hoffman teaches education at the University of Illinois. He says some fear more computer education means less time for curriculum staples like English and science.
There's always a battle being an educator as there's kind of the one more thing phenomenon.
But he says if that one more thing is tech instruction, most teachers are all about it. So this semester, he's teaching a brand new course, Computer Programming in the K-8 Classroom. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
More news this week from documents provided by National Security Agency leaker Edward Snowden with a fascinating tidbit. The reaches of government surveillance stretch even into the digital world of massive multiplayer online games like the fantasy title World of Warcraft. Documents suggest as early as 2007, NSA agents may have been creating digital characters and playing the game out of concern that terrorists might be using it as a cover to communicate and even exchange money. Lindsay Turrentine of CNET.
The concept is that some of these large multiplayer games are an economy and a society unto themselves, and that these are sort of an easy place for terrorists to have conversations with each other and even to exchange money.
Now, how have the game makers responded to this?
According to The Guardian, the makers of World of Warcraft have said, we had no idea this was going on. If it has been happening, we didn't know. Everyone else has declined to comment, including Microsoft, which is interesting because if you remember this past summer, Xbox One was slated to require an always-on connection.
Right.
And Xbox One has a lot of embedded biosensing. You know, the Kinect camera can tell who you are by your face and listen to your speech. And everybody's sort of thinking, well, if there's a camera that's always on in my living room, how hard would it be for any spying agency to watch me? And it turns out that's absolutely within the realm of possibility here.
Now, we should note that Xbox basically went back on this requirement and you no longer have to be online all the time.
That's correct. You don't have to be. And I think in gaming forums today, the response has largely been, see?
Doesn't it make you wonder, like, what kind of characters the government spies are walking around as? Like, are they ghouls? Are they trolls? Are they dragons? What's happening?
I'm dying to know.
Lindsay Turrentine, editor-in-chief of reviews for CNET. Lindsay, thank you very much as always.
Thank you.
Marketplace Tech is listener-supported. To keep our coverage relevant and compelling, please consider making a tax-deductible gift in any amount to Marketplace today. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. If there is one vehicular tech promise that has captured our imagination for decades but never quite been delivered, it's the jetpack. From Jules Verne to James Bond and Thunderball to the Rocketeer, we've pretended these things are just around the corner, but for some reason we don't have them yet. Well, the BBC's Jack Stewart headed to New Zealand recently to look at a company which hopes to again kindle our interest and bring us closer to our dreams with something called a Martin jetpack. Hi, Jack.
Hello.
Why has it taken so long for these jetpack promises to come true?
Why can I not fly above the traffic on the way to work? Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, we've been promised these things for, I think, going on 100 years now. But there have always been these limitations. The materials or the fuel or the propulsion system have not really been up to the type of jetpack that we need for commuting. But suddenly we're seeing this sort of convergence now of new lightweight materials and, importantly, computer flight control, which makes these things actually usable. This is all sort of coming together, and it looks like we might actually be finally entering this jetpack era.
It's interesting to me, the sort of computerized controls here. Does that mean that humans can't be trusted with joysticks?
It means that humans can only be trusted with joysticks, I think. So to fly this thing now is, I'm told, very easy and actually fun, because all you have to do is move a joystick around. And if you let go, the thing automatically returns to a computer-controlled hover. It's not the kind of the rocket pack of the 60s sci-fi era that you just sort of strap to your belt and off you go. It is more like strapping probably a small plane without wings onto your back.
It can fly for about 30 minutes with a range of about 30 kilometers or something like that. And I saw some footage of someone flying it at a pretty high altitude.
Yeah, I think it's capable of flight at up to 7,000 feet. And the recommended flight altitude is likely to be above 500 feet, because if anything does go wrong, that would give time for the ballistic parachute system that's going to be installed on it to deploy and hopefully bring you to a softer landing than a plummet straight to Earth. But perhaps we'll see sort of semi-skilled pilots practicing with these things first and passing down some lessons to the rest of us.
When I break open my jetpack piggy bank, am I going to have enough money for this thing?
Well, I don't know, but the predictions that I've seen are somewhere around $200,000.
Oh, perfect.
So it's a big piggy bank. And then there will be another hurdle, potentially. We don't really know what licensing requirements are going to be. I think there's a lot of detail that will have to be worked out before we can necessarily go out and buy one, no matter how big your piggy bank is.
Jack, thank you very much, man.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
That's Jack Stewart of the BBC. And before we go, a quick little tech PSA. Videos on Facebook will now automatically play if you're viewing the social network on a mobile device, kind of like Vine and things like that. You know what this means, right? Yes, more video advertising on the way. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.